Well, here's what I want to do now. For our remaining time, I want to take the themes that we've heard in these stories this morning, combine them with what God tells us in His Word in Psalm 8, and connect it all to this series that we're in called Finding Happiness. Think about this. Everybody wants to be happy. And we find it and look for it in different ways. I found it interesting going to a different culture the last 2 weeks that I was in Tanzania along with Dan and Kevin, who had gone months ago. It's a very different culture. But they want to be happy too. The men seek happiness through power. And oh man, you see it all through their culture, even in the church. The women seek happiness through gossip. Just different versions of seeking to try to find something in their hearts and their souls. And if you live in a little bitty village, you seek happiness by getting to a bigger village. And then by moving from a bigger village to a town. And then if you could go from a town to one of the big cities in Tanzania, oh man, supposedly then you've really made it. All of it seeking happiness. Now, as Americans, what do we think about? You might think, well, if I could just fix all of the problems in my life, then I'd be happy. If you have a certain level of luxury or a certain level of comfort, well, then, boy, wouldn't I be happy if I could have that. Maybe advancement in your education or your career. Maybe if you could just get the respect or the love that you desire, that would be this missing ingredient, this secret key that could unlock happiness for your souls. King Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 1:14, I have seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity. It's all emptiness. And it's striving after the wind. So, King Solomon, through the inspiration of God, is saying to us, look, I've chased it, and I've chased it, and I've chased that, and in fact, I've gotten it. I have attained it, and let me tell you, when you get it, it's like vapor that just floats away, and it does not give your soul the happiness that you desire. You will never experience or find supreme happiness by your own pursuits. It just doesn't happen. Instead, King David told us in Psalm 1, verse 1, blessed is the man who walks. And then he's going to say a few things about what not to do. He says, you don't walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of scoffers. But instead, blessed is the man who delights in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. So today's message and this whole worship service is focused on how people experience being blessed, as King David described. How do we experience supreme happiness? Brad Elgin pointed out in the first sermon in the series that word blessed or blessed, depending on how you want to pronounce it, means supreme happiness. God is offering the human heart everything we long for. King Solomon was saying, I've seen it all, and if you chase after all of these things your entire life, it's going to be empty, and it's going to be like the vapor of the wind. And instead, King David is saying, I can tell you how you can experience the deepest longings of your heart. It's by meditating and delighting in the law of God. It doesn't come by the pursuits of our own lives and our own energies. Because see, when we know His Word and when we delight in His Word, we know Him. And when we know Him, He satisfies our hearts in a way that nothing else can. Now that's my introduction. Let's look now at Psalm 8 to continue this theme and to get yet another perspective on all of this. I'm going to read the Psalm 8 in its entirety, and then I'm going to share some thoughts about it as a whole. Psalm 8 is a very famous psalm. It's famous for probably a number of reasons. One of them that it's famous is it's a bit short, and people like short psalms. It's also really easy to understand. The very first verse and the very last verse are the same. So as we read it, we understand, oh, this is what it's about. That's good. And it also says something very surprising about humanity. It's a very exalting thing that it says about humanity. And we always like it when people say exalting things about us. We'll get to that here in a moment. So here we go. Psalm 8, verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Now let's just stop right there. Because I love this thought that David is communicating here. God's glory is majestic. It means it's excellent. It's so majestic and it's so excellent that earth cannot contain it. So, yeah, earth is filled with the majesty of God, but it goes even beyond. It says your glory is even above the heavens. It's all out in the cosmos. Like, it's everywhere. You look at it, and it's like it cannot be contained. I like that thought. Here we go. Verse 2. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you care for him? Those are good questions. If God's so glorious, if God is so majestic, like why would he think of us like these mere people, right? It says, yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the fields and the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. This is the word of the Lord. This psalm is one of the best examples of celebrating God's glory and man's place within the universe. So, like the stories that we've heard this morning, when a person aligns their life with the declaration of God's glory, we find our rightful place. Do you follow that? When a person aligns their life with the glory of God, we find our rightful place. If you like know that song that we just sang right before I came up here, This Is My Story by Big Daddy Weave, if you go back and listen to that, that's basically what that song is saying. He's like, this is my story, and it's really not about me, it's about God. The lyrics are saying, I found myself under his big story. Do you have a story? You do. I'd call it a micro story. Every single person, right? Billions of micro stories that kind of just move along. But every micro story will only find its full sense of fulfillment under the meta story of God as he is revealing his truth, his glory, and his love, and his grace. That's what this psalm is talking about. I love it. So let me point out a couple things. The psalm tells us that God's glory is on display. So the stars in the sky are displaying and declaring the glory of God. They say that with the naked eye, you can see about, if it's a really dark place and there isn't any light pollution, you can see about 5,000 stars on a really great clear night, 5,000, which is a lot, admittedly. But if you just had a 4-inch telescope, which is not big, it would increase your ability to see 2 million stars. I mean, obviously, we know there's lots of stars out there, lots of planets. My point now is not to get into the design of the of all of the atmosphere. But this psalm is pointing to the glory that is displayed, and it just goes on and on and on. And we see God's glory in display in creation. He's talking about earth. He's talking about animals. He's talking about the seas. He's talking about the vegetation. All of it is displaying God's glory everywhere we look. And God stands apart from it and above his spectacular creation. And he's looking down on it. He is the pure essence of glory. And yeah, he's infused some of it into our creation. But it doesn't reveal all of his glory. But he has displayed some of his glory through the creation that he's made. That's the first thing this psalm points out. Here's the second thing that this psalm tells us, that God shares his glory with humanity. Think about that for a second. God shares some of his glory with humanity. That'll make you scratch your head and think for a second, because as you look around at humanity, not just today, but look at humanity through all of the decades and the eons of time, you got to kind of wonder, wow, that doesn't look a whole lot like God. So what does that mean? Well, let's look at the verses. Verse 5 tells us that God crowned him, humanity, with glory and honor. As mere specks in the glorious universe that God has created, God has given humanity significance and dignity that is above everything else that he has created. That's what that's saying. Verse 1 tells us that God set his glory above the heavens. That was the one we already talked about. Now in verse 5, God is saying he crowned humanity with glory and honor. It's the same word. They're not different words for glory. God is just sharing part of his glory with humanity. As the perfect creator, God decided that it was a perfect plan to make humanity in his image, reflecting his glory in a way that no other part of creation can do. It's a unique facet that humanity has. You have more glory capacity than the view from the top of a 14er. And that's a glorious view. You have more glory capacity than the changing colors of fall as you just kind of look over the fields and just see all of the different shades of reds and yellows and greens. You have more glory capacity than like the near perfect fish eating design of the Nile perch. You can look it up. They're awesome. Right? You are designed with incredible glory capacity because God shares his glory with you. That's what verse 5 is saying. Verse 6 goes along with the idea and adds, there's another component to saying it, that God has given dominion to humanity. Meaning, again, that now as mere specks in this universe, God has given us a role to rule over. It's a job that he's given us to rule the world that he has made. I mean, of course, God is still the big boss, but we're under him, right? It's his meta story, and we have the micro story, but under that micro story is the rest of like creation, and we're supposed to rule it with wisdom. We're supposed to like lead it and protect it and steward it like God would want it to be ruled and stewarded and protected. He shares his authority with us. What a gift of grace and dignity that he shares his glory with us. Now, let me piece all this together and then tie this in with these stories and the supreme happiness here. So far, this Psalm 8 is telling us, all right, God has pure glory. It's on display so people can see it. Then he shares it with humanity so that our words and our attitudes and our lives reflect and display his glory. And he says, look, you have a job to do to rule over this creation, and that reveals God's glory as well. And because of all of that, you put all that together, because of it, when we pray, God, please show me your glory, we are not just grasping at some vague hope. Oh, I sure hope God answers this one with a yes. God, please show me your glory. God, I don't know what your will is in this situation. Sometimes we pray like that, right? I'm praying for this, God. I don't know if your will is this or something I've never even thought of before, but I pray that you'll just show an answer of some kind. That's not the way this prayer works. When we pray, God, please show me your glory, we are aligning our lives to the very purpose that God has created us to live. It's your design. It is your purpose. And the stories that we've been hearing this morning are 6 examples of that. And I know that there are hundreds of others that could have shared as well. That's what we were meant to do. That's the life that we were meant to live. And supreme happiness, let me connect this back to this bigger theme of supreme happiness, you guys. Supreme happiness comes when we align our lives with God's glory. That's the best life you could ever live. The best life you could ever live is not chasing after everything that looks really good. Solomon already told us that's not going to work, right? It's vanity, and it's like chasing after the wind. Now, some people, my dad used to call it, some people learn the easy way and some people learn the hard way. Listening to the wisdom of King Solomon is the easy way. Chasing after everything and learning it through hardship and circumstances is the hard way. Now look, if we could all just do it the easy way, wouldn't that be great? But we don't do it that way, do we? Well, we hear a little bit and we think, oh, well, yeah, I mean, that's pretty good stuff, but what about this? If I could just add that to this, oh, what? That would be like God's glory and God's goodness, like with the extra stuff that I've added in. Boy, that would be the best. And there's that slow process of sanctification that God takes us through where we can be in a place and say, look, I actually have nothing right now. I sought that. I chased that. Man, I gave so much of my money and my time to that, and I'm still empty. So here's what I bring, God. I bring me. That's it. And your presence in my life and me under your bigger story, walking faithfully, showing love, showing truth, that is how you will display God's glory. That's how you can say, oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all of the earth. And that's how God has designed it for people to experience supreme happiness. This is not meant to be a mystery. God doesn't want people just wandering around thinking, man, I sure wish I could figure this life thing out. I sure wish I could find what really would satisfy my soul. God's saying, oh, it's already in my scriptures. It's already there for you, and it's good. It's good for you. It's the best for you. That's why we're calling it not just happiness, but supreme happiness. Because as our designer, he knows what we want and need the most in our souls. So let me just ask you if you're experiencing that, or do you want to experience that? God is inviting every single one of you into his bigger story so that your life gets mixed into the display of his glory. Everyone can do that. It comes by being in a relationship with him. It comes by acknowledging that he is the King of all kings, that you have sin that needs to be confessed and repented of, and then you ask him to be your ruler and your savior. And then you start growing, and you just kind of move along day by day and week by week, and slowly he starts infusing you more and more deeply into his story. If you want that, God wants you to have it. Please know that. And you can be a part of his big, glorious story. That's what we're dedicated to for this year, asking God to show his glory through us. We would have never come up with that idea, probably, because we would have never thought we were important enough that God would actually show anything through us. But God says, oh, no, you're my people. Just like he says that to every Christian around the world. Let's keep praying it. Let's keep showing it. And let's keep living it so that we can change this city for God's glory. Would you guys stand, and we'll do a benediction here to close out our service. So as you're leaving today, as you're pondering all of the things that you've heard, remember this, that God sees you, he knows you, he knows everything about you, and he is calling and beckoning you to be part of his big, glorious story today and this week. So be on the lookout. Be ready to live it by faith and by grace.